Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
This is a show that discusses theology in a simple way.
We help make the greatest Bible truths accessible to all seekers, students, and saints.
We're going to do our best to be engaging, entertaining, and enlightening.
If you're interested in theology but don't consider yourself a theologian, this is the show for you.
We're Josh and Heather. We minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
And we love each other, love theology, and love to talk.
We have three different types of episodes on this podcast. The first is theological discussions. The second is Bible fascinations. And the third is just personal applications from the Word.
You can find this and previous episodes on our iTunes podcast or on KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio. We always begin with a little fun. So, Heather, let's get started.
All right. Right, so we're on episode 3, and we're so glad you're here. We always start with something a little bit kind of fun. I have a question
for Josh. Okay, go for it, Heather. I'm ready.
Yes, this one is tough for me, but hopefully you're ready for it.
I'm ready.
What is the last book that you read?
Okay, so in this, I have no idea what you're going to ask. The last book that I read, completed or that I'm in the middle of reading?
Let's do in the middle of.
Okay, what book am I in the middle of reading? I am in the middle of reading a book entitled Evangelistic Preaching.
Sounds riveting.
It's not. I have to read it for a class I'm taking.
What's the last book you read for pleasure then? It could be like theological, but that you really...
That I liked reading?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Goodness.
It could be fiction. It could be, you know, a study book, but what was one you enjoyed?
I don't know.
Do you enjoy reading, Josh?
I don't enjoy... reading books. I do.
He lies. He is a huge reader.
Okay.
A ravenous reader.
Yeah, I'm constantly going through. Okay, you know what? I read a book recently entitled Preaching, Communicating Faith.
Who's
to a skeptical
by
Timothy Keller.
Oh, Keller's got some good stuff. I say that just because I can say it.
Yeah.
Because I have read one of his books.
Yeah.
So
it
was on marriage, The Meaning of Marriage, which is if you are looking for a great book on marriage, The Meaning of Marriage expresses some things.
Really,
even if you're
single,
it
was a very good book.
It has wonderful concepts, not just about marriage, but about being single or what to do moving forward as a single person.
I just read a book called The Naked Gospel.
No, you just told us. You're
by
done.
Andrew Farley.
It's
no,
over.
I just wanted to
Too
say,
late.
But I read a book and I wanted to brag about reading.
Okay, Andrew Farley. That sounds like a made up name.
Andrew Farley.
And what is the book called?
It's called The Naked Gospel.
That sounds inappropriate.
No, I know it does, but that's why I picked it up. I thought,
actually,
this is interesting.
I could see that because let's just pull away everything that distracts.
Right, and just look at the gospel itself. Yeah. It was great. It was suggested to me by a friend. Okay, what was the last book you read?
Well, I do a weird thing. I read 4 or 5 at a time.
No, I know. I live with you, and it's very strange.
Yeah. You're whatever I'm in the mood for, or sometimes I'm reading something pertaining to counseling and trying to help in an area. So it's not always for my pleasure. I'm sometimes forced, but... right now I'm reading, I'll tell you two, cause they're on a similar topic.
Okay.
So I think
tell me.
I can tell you these two. The first one is The Best Yes by Lisa Turkest.
Okay.
And I know that was written years ago, so I'm late to the party, but, it's about managing your time and kind of, saying no to the good things.
Yes.
But yes to the most important things.
The most important
things.
So
that you're able to say yes to the most important things. And the other book is written by a Christian doctor, and it's called Margin. That's the one you had read years ago.
That's a great book. Changed my life.
And it talks about the idea that we shouldn't fill our lives so full of things. You know, the old example of putting the big rocks in the container first, and then you put in the little rocks, and then the sand and the water, and you fill it all up, and it all fits. And our bodies, our spirits, our souls are not meant to live that way. We're meant to have margin, that white space around the edge of your book that you see, that chance to... breathe, to dream, to fathom what God is doing.
It's a great
having
book.
Margin. And I've got to share my favorite quote from that. If you can say yes to 15, or no, if you can do, see, I'm messing up the quote, but it's something like, if you can do, it's a great book.
No,
if
do
you can
not
do,
quote if you're going to get it wrong.
No, I've got to attempt it again. Okay, this will be my last and final attempt. If you have the opportunity and the time to do 10 good things today, but there are 15 that you have the opportunity for, you're going to have to say no 5 times to 5 good things.
That's a good point. So you, the aspect
and that was
is,
not an exact quote.
What they want you to do is just get used to saying no.
You have to get used to saying no. It's not just saying no to everything. It's really being wise and valuing margin in your life, in your finances, in your emotions, in your physical strength and time. So it is an excellent, both those are excellent books.
Okay, well, today we have a theological discussion, and we're under the broad cap of theology itself. Last time in episode number one, we talked about the existence of God. Today we're going to talk about how God reveals himself.
And I love this part.
Yeah, I know. I've been looking forward to this one as well. We would say that there are two main ways in which God reveals himself: through general revelation, what some would call common grace, or special revelation.
Or specific revelation.
Revelation, specific grace. So let's go ahead and talk about the difference. Explain to our audience, what do we mean by general revelation?
All right. General revelation is the idea that God reveals himself to everyone, the entire world, through his creation. It's where the psalmist looks up and says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's that you cannot look at this world and not see his design work there. And that even if you are in another place and someone is not telling you about God, you can see from creation that there is a higher power there.
Right, absolutely. So God reveals himself through nature or creation in of itself. The heavens declare the glory of God,
yes.
Psalm 19 says. The firmament shows his handiwork. Anywhere you go in the world, you can look up and say, somebody must have created this. So he reveals himself in a general way to all mankind through nature. Is there another way in which God reveals himself in a general way to all mankind?
Well,
I would say there's another way, and that would be through
college. I just remember learning about creation.
Okay, tell me,
Josh, what other way can God reveal himself through general revelation?
Well, I would also say then through the conscience, right? Because according to Romans chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible tells us the conscience bears witness with
that
us.
That sounded a little more specific to me, but okay.
No. Look at what Romans 2. Let me see if I can make the point. Romans chapter 2 says this: for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. So the law being specific revelation, or the Bible itself, they don't have that, which show the work of the law that is written in their hearts, the conscience already being bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile excusing one another. The concept is, without even the Bible, God reveals himself to these people by writing the law of God deep in their hearts. This is why the Gentile that may not know anything of the law knows deep down it's wrong to kill. How does he know it's wrong to kill? Because that law is written in his heart. He's going to marry someone. He knows deep down it's wrong to commit adultery. But he's never even heard the word adultery. Why? Because he knows his conscience bears witness with the law of God that's written there. So some would say, theologians of the past have said, okay, there's two or three ways that God reveals himself in a general way to all mankind. Through creation, yes, but there's another way, and that's through the conscience.
Okay. See, and that's where I could get a little confused, because I see going into specific revelation, God working through his word and through his spirit through specific revelation.
Yeah, and absolutely.
But you're talking about the conscience. But see, doesn't the Holy Spirit use a conscience?
I think the Holy Spirit does. I think the Holy Spirit speaks to and through the conscience. But this would be
getting a little sticky there, defending your point now, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe you
fell right into my trap.
You know, I'm in a theological corner here, so I'm going to escape really quick. Well, there is another theory, and there's another theory that there's another way in which God reveals himself in a general way to all mankind, and that would be through history.
Now, see, yeah, okay, I could see that.
Like,
but
in what
to
way?
I don't know. I was just trying to be nice. I can't see that.
Okay, why not?
Because I think, again, you're dealing more with getting into specific, because I think the Holy Spirit is going to be using history more than just general revelation. You explain.
Since you're making the point here.
And holding the book, I might add. Folks, I have no book except the Bible.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually holding a theological book in front of me, so I'm clearly cheating. She's got a Bible, and I'm acting as if I know all these details, and I'm just simply reading a book in front of you. So now you know the truth behind
it. I held it back as long as I could.
Yeah.
The people need to know.
The people need to know. Okay, so this is what theologians would say, right? First of all, there's general revelation through creation. There's also what you just told our producer to cut that part. You don't want her to. Why do you want her to cut that?
Because I feel bad. I threw you under the bus.
Hey, our audience knows you have no respect for me.
No
respect.
That is terrible.
But look, our audience also knows that I'm going to be holding the theological book. in front of
but
me.
But you do know most of it.
I'm not even going to say that. We're not going to pretend that this is just off the cuff. There's no way.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right. I'm sorry. My conscience, or was that the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Something was convicting me. So is it general or specific?
So they would say general revelation. Many evangelical Christian theologians would say general revelation. God reveals himself in a general way.
Could you specify?
What's that?
Who are these theologians? Could you specify? These theologians, these many that you keep referencing.
These would be fundamental evangelical theologians of the last 200 years. Such as Hodge, Schaefer. Do you want me to go on?
Yes. Okay. All right. I will accept that as an answer.
Okay. Nature, conscience.
I thought you were going to say Schroeder, God, like from Peanuts.
No, not Schroeder. Schroeder was a piano player who was obsessed with Beethoven and Mozart.
Okay. I just want to clarify that because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And he had a blanket.
That's Linus.
That's Linus?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, get your facts straight.
I'm trying to, but I don't have comic books in front of me. I have a theology
That's
book
what
in front
I've got.
Of me.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so in a general way, God reveals himself to mankind. Yes, through nature or creation.
Yes.
Then there would also be the conscience. And then we would say also history. What do you mean by that, history? So today, the idea of the flood seems almost impossible to view it as actual history. But think about the time of the post-Noetic days, the days after Noah. It was written history to these people that the flood occurred. That was historic event that proved to them in a general way to all mankind without writing down, there is a God. But we have a modern historical anomaly that shows there's a God as well. And many have stated that the Jewish nation in and of itself is a historical impossibility.
Okay, that's good.
Right. You look at the Jewish nation, you look at the Hebrew people. Yeah. Nation after nation have tried to completely, utterly destroy these people.
I'm not disappointed. I'm very thankful for that point.
Right,
but I'm just like, you proved your point.
Right.
That was really good.
You look at the Jewish nation.
It's really strong.
As a historical impossibility, what some would say a historical anomaly, they're still alive. They're still blessed. It seems as if they are God's people. Now, how is that possible? How is that when there have been nation after nation and people group after people group eradicated from the earth? How is that possible? Or even assimilated into the world? How is that possible? Other than maybe it's a proof that there's a God and that that God has a special place in his heart for the Hebrew people. So I'm not sharing you with everything that, this is right or wrong. I'm just saying these are some ways in which people have discussed general revelation.
No, that's really interesting. And those are good facts. And that is something that strengthens my faith, honestly, is thinking through, as we study history, as we see these different things, that yes, that is our God. Their story, what God did for the Jewish people, in a sense.
And continues to do.
Yeah, that is, in a sense, our heritage as well, as we are that branch that's been grafted in, which, I love that. So I get all emotional and I'm trying to keep it together over here.
Keep it together, Heather. Okay, so if there's general revelation.
Let's talk about specific because that's my favorite. Go ahead.
All right. So general revelation is the way God reveals himself and shows common grace to all mankind. Now let's talk specifically about special revelation, how God shows special revelation to
me. Could you please say specific because that's how I learned it.
You like specific revelation?
Yes.
All right, specific revelation. Give us the definition of specific revelation.
Okay, so specific revelation would be his word.
Okay, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, one of the ways in which God...
Like, pleased with that answer. You gave me a look like...
Well, I gave you the look like I knew what it was because I know that.
Oh, you weren't surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. Okay. I mean...
I thought you would be impressed.
Well, like, why would I be impressed? I know that you know that.
Maybe I don't.
Well, you just said it.
Okay. All right, so God's word... So I love that. And we talked about this a little bit in the last one, is that, God's word, it is proof of who he is. He doesn't start out in Genesis defending himself.
Yeah.
He just, here it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The existence of God isn't going to be something that the scientific method, explains, that you can find by empirical evidence. Really, it's something that sometimes unsaved people try to demand of us. That's not how God is defined or explained or how he reveals himself. He revealed himself to us by his word. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:9 talks about that. It says that, and I'm going to mess it up now that I'm quoting it, so I'm trying to do it by memory, y'all. It said, "I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And it goes on to say that he reveals them to us by his Spirit. And I know we're talking about his word, so I jumped the gun there. But I think it's really impressive that the things that God has prepared, who he is, his very nature, is something that you can't just draw out by the scientific method or
or by
reason
viewing creation.
Out. Like, yes.
So what you're saying is you can't really know God. You can know that there is a God through creation, through the conscience, through history. You can know that there is a God, but you really can't know much as much about him unless he specifically opens himself up and tells us about himself. And how did
a person
how did he tell us about it?
A person can't be saved through general revelation alone, but general revelation can help point them and bring them to God's specific revelation.
The word of God.
Where salvation is found.
Yeah, which it would be the written word.
Yes.
The written word itself.
And
so,
through his Spirit, which is how we understand his word.
So this is where we get to the point where we ask ourselves, is it sufficient for salvation, general revelation? That is, can someone get saved simply by looking up into the night sky? Can someone get saved and their soul be redeemed simply through their conscience or through a understanding of history? And our answer to that would be
no.
No.
Here's the important part, is knowing who God is, that he's not willing that any should perish. That the term I've heard used is that when you receive light that God gives, he gives more light if you're willing to receive it. And, you know, I used to growing up in church, I would hear stories from missionaries about going into some tribe, brand new tribe, and they've, you know, not seen this foreigner, and they've been all by themselves. And they would go in there to share the gospel with these people in their language, and there would be some old person in the tribe that said, I knew from creation there was a God, and I have been praying and praying that he would reveal himself to me. And I always thought, even as a kid, I loved it, but I remember thinking, I don't know if that really happens. And then since then, being privileged to be in a place that is so many different cultures, we have met people. In fact, you know who I'm thinking of, don't you, Josh? The lady that I am thinking of, she was telling us her salvation story.
Yep.
And I'm going to let you tell it because I don't want to mess up any of the details. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect example of how God gave her light and truth, even though she was in a country that had two different religions that were false religions.
But she was born and raised in China.
Yes.
And being raised in China, she had very little access to true Christianity. And she was raised in a Buddhist home. It was early on in her life, she said, that she just became very utterly, deeply convinced that the ways of Buddhism were not the ways to God. Mm-hmm. And she began to pray, you know, God.
But she knew there was a God, going back to general revelation. I remember her saying.
Yeah. She said, I knew there was a God. It was not the ways of Buddha. Now, she had a lot of friends who were Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so she began to seek God in the faith of Islam. And she began to say, in the prayers and everything else, God, reveal yourself to me. But she said, again, she didn't feel a comfortability and a sense or a presence from God. And so she tells the story of when she went out into the field, mm-hmm. looked up into the sky. She was going through an emotional experience because her grandmother was passing away. And she cries out to the sky, God, I know you are not Buddha.
Yeah.
I know you are not Allah, but I know you are there. Please reveal yourself to me. So again, she had an acceptance of general revelation through her conscience, through creation, perhaps history. And she had a sense of general revelation, and she prayed for specific revelation. She goes home to her family, and her father says to her,
And it wasn't right away.
It was within a few weeks.
Yes.
Her father says to her, I'm sending you to America. Now, this is fascinating because she has no family in America. She obeys her father.
She's the first one to ever come to this country.
She goes from China to the United States in Los Angeles. The very first week she was there, she was invited by some other immigrants to the First Chinese Baptist Church of Los Angeles. She arrives that very first Sunday. She hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of who Jesus is, that he is the express image of God, the Son of God who died upon the cross for sins. She went forward in the invitation time, spoke with a counselor, bowed her head to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and in that moment, she said she can recall looking up into the skies and calling out, God, tell me who you are, reveal yourself to me. And it wasn't until she had an opportunity through special revelation or specific revelation from the Bible,
God's word being shared,
that she was able to receive Christ. So we would say that someone could not be saved through general revelation, but they need special or specific revelation, the word of God.
God so freely gives that. Sometimes we get all worried about, what about this person? What about that? God is so good. And think about it. Is he so powerful as God? but yet he's limited in being able to reach someone who wants to know him.
Yeah.
he's going to hide from them or make it really hard. No.
Right.
Anybody, and I know multiple stories. I know stories of people in this country who didn't grow up in Christian homes, who grew up the farthest thing from hearing about specific revelation, but because their heart was tender, they
God
were open
them.
And,
yeah.
and they responded to that, I would say, falling under specific revelation, the Holy Spirit's convicting them yeah. of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Sure.
And God kept opening the door because he loves them and he wants them to
Romans
to come
chapter
to him.
10, verse 17 speaks to this, doesn't it? It says, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Mm.
So the only way to get to hearing is by the word of God, and the only way you get to the word, only way you get to the word of God is by hearing, and the only way you get to hearing is by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God must precede true faith. So that's what we would say when it comes to special revelation. Special revelation is God revealing himself through his written word, the scriptures. But we would say there's another way that God reveals himself, and that would be what?
Well, I would say through the Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So through the Holy Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, he can begin to reveal himself to mankind specifically.
And that's one of my favorite parts. I would say, I'm going to change the wording a little bit, but I like the idea of God revealing himself through his word, but also through his works, the works that the Spirit does in our life.
Mm.
And this is the strongest point for me, and it's a hard thing to share in witnessing, honestly, because God's work and my assurance is so personally related to what he's done in my life that it really is through personal experience.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, let me explain. You know, as a teenager, so I trusted Christ when I was 6 years old. And when I became a teenager, or even in my adult life, there might be times where Satan brings doubt to mind. What if it's not real? What if it's all a lie? What if, you know, you're just believing this phony baloney?
Yeah.
And immediately, I would begin to think through things. But do you know one of the things that always came back, besides the assurity of the word of God, is things that would come back are prayers that I prayed as a child. And the Lord just answered it, and it couldn't possibly be coincidence. God just, I always say, he spoiled me rotten. And I think about times that the Holy Spirit was my comforter.
Yes.
And ministered to me, things that he spoke to me from his word or in a message or dealt with me, and God was so presently working in my life. It'd be like asking me to doubt that my own earthly father existed.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, how do you know Melvin exists? Well, I know because I know him.
Yeah.
And that's where I look at what God does and how he reveals himself by his works. He bears witness with our spirit. He changes us as believers. He's doing that work within us.
So he reveals
prayers.
Himself, and then you have personal experience and interaction with him.
He disciplines us. Yeah.
Right, but then the critic or the doubter would say, or the skeptic would say, so because you believe in this individual, he interacts with you,
right?
And he interacts with you in such a special way, so I'm supposed to believe based upon your personal testimony that that's the case.
Right. Which, I mean, it's hard. It really is. And that's why I think is really where it comes down to faith and what the Lord talks about, the faith of a child, is when it comes to proving the existence of God, you can give proofs, but it ultimately is a matter of someone stepping out in faith and believing him and trusting him. You know, it's just amazing to me that's who God uses, is people who will step out on faith.
So do you think it's possible for somebody to choose to believe? That's going to break into our conversation later on when we're going to be discussing the theology of soteriology, whether or not man has a free will to choose to decline God's offer.
Oh, I definitely believe you can choose to believe. And I believe that once you choose, those feelings will follow.
Yeah.
But talking about, this is what I was looking for before, and I got to be honest, I do have another book. So,
oh, you have a book in
front.
But it's
one I've not really,
I just started it.
But it's by Philip Yancey, and it's Reaching for the Invisible God.
Yes.
But listen to this, and it expresses what I'm talking about the matter of faith, and how faith really is what salvation and walking with God is all about. It says, God often does his work through holy fools. I like that. Holy fools. Dreamers who strike out in ridiculous faith. Whereas I approach my own decisions with calculation and restraint. In fact, a curious law of reversal seems to apply in matters of faith. And this is great. Listen to this. The modern world honors what? Intelligence, good looks, confidence, sophistication. God apparently does not. To accomplish his work, God often relies on simple, uneducated people who don't know any better than to trust him. And through them, wonders happen. Mm. Isn't that beautiful? And that's why I think, in fact, he even goes on to say the least gifted person can become a master in prayer, because prayer requires only an intense desire to spend time with God.
Yeah.
So when it comes to matters of faith and what we're talking about here, that specific revelation of God working in your life, I think that's something that God treasures.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, by faith, we just believe him for who he is. And then he begins to build our faith through what he does in us and through us.
Now,
so that there's no denying it.
Now, there are going to be people who are listening to this who have all sorts of questions now that we've discussed this, and they might be thinking, well, wait a second. How did God reveal himself to me through my dream, or did God reveal himself in a different way? If they had those questions for us, where would you send them to ask those questions?
Oh, well, they could go right to Bible Talks with Josh and Heather, our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's where we dialogue and interact with all of our audience, and you could ask those questions right there, which would be fascinating. So overall, we believe that not only God exists, but that he reveals himself to mankind in a general way through creation, through our conscience, through history, but also in a very specific way through Scripture. He got together with Moses, and he got together with Joshua, and he got together with Isaiah, and the gospel writers, and with the Apostle Paul, and he writes these words so that we could have the Scripture, but it even goes beyond the Scripture, and he reveals himself through the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of our...
Can I add one more?
Absolutely.
Would you agree that he reveals himself through the person of Jesus Christ?
I would say that would be his primary way of revealing himself, yes.
I mean, imagine that. Yeah. God being so personal that not only is he not hiding himself or not, you know, just being so high and lofty above us that he won't just show his face to us, show his character.
Yeah.
But yet he would become one of us so that, you know, you could see
right.
God
he being the
personified.
Express image yeah. of the Godhead for mankind to see, which is one of the reasons why we love reading the Gospels so much. Thank you so much for listening to episode 3 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
On the next episode, we plan to have another Bible Fascinations conversation. And this one is going to be about our top five favorite books of the Bible.
Favorite books of the Bible. And I do not want to discuss this with you prior to our next episode because I don't want to spoil you. I don't want you to think.
Oh, I know.
You don't know what mine are. Don't act like you
know
me.
Look,
if you'd like to connect with Josh and Heather further, we'd love for you to go onto our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather, and like it. Here we can interact with you, take requests for upcoming episodes, and answer your questions.
And if you enjoyed this today, can we just ask you, would you share this podcast so that others can also take part in this conversation and enjoy as well?
Again, thank you for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.